Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Before Bob and Ruth leave the stage, has anyone got any burning questions to put? If you could stand up and give us your name.
Cathy Pritch-Jones. I'm the Chief Medical Officer for London Cancer Integrated System in North and East London. So I suppose my question is, I absolutely agree with what you said about Brave commissioning and at scale, and we're working very hard in our system to build clinical leaders who have ambitious plans to make clinical change. What I'd like to know is the challenge is how do you make sure that there's a, you know, that those two people, those two groups can have the same ambition at the same time and do it together, because that seems to be one of the challenges of lining up, particularly with, you know, commissioning still in a state of flux and how it's going to land.
And before you answer that, can we just take, there were two other questions, so let's take the three of them. Yes, you've got the mic now. That's great. Thank you.
My name's Andrew Parr. I'm a commissioning efficiency manager for 3M Healthcare. My question really is around innovation and just the panel's views on how innovation should be promoted and championed locally and then obviously spread to a more national setting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there was someone just behind you. Lovely, thank you.
Hello, my name's Diana Vague. I'm from the ABPI, the Trade Association for the pharmaceutical industry. My question is really to Ruth. You mentioned a lot about the sort of, you know, the scale of change in terms of local or bottom-up, but a lot of things have to be done sort of comprehensively at a kind of strategic level. In terms of the Innovation, Health and Wealth report led by Saree and Carruthers, what's your vision for how the industry can engage with the NHS to make some of these big changes happen?
Thank you very much. Bob, can I start with...
Yeah, I mean, I'll just make two very quick replies, one around partnership and one on innovation. I think on the partnership thing, the only way you can do that, and if you don't, it'll be a failure, I think is to actually have the difficult debate on what are we trying to achieve. You know, what are the key outcomes and what really matters that actually everybody taking part actually understands? You know, what are we going, you know, when we say we want excellent cancer care, what does that mean? You know, what are our expectations in terms of outcomes? Actually, also, what are our expectations in relation to how patients and carers experience their treatment? So, for example, one of the things I'm sure wouldn't happen in London but I see elsewhere is the appalling situation, actually, in fact, where somebody's discharged from a provincial hospital, they're getting home chemo, something goes wrong, and the patient actually said to me, I got given this card, and when I rang up, actually, for help, there was nobody there, and I had to go to A&E. So I think it's actually about agreeing what are the outcomes, what are we looking for in terms of the upside for patients and carers, and what's unforgivable or unacceptable. And then starting from that, I think you've then actually got enough to actually build on. I think on innovation, I'll upset the CCGs here. I think CCGs have got a key role in enabling innovation, but history of the NHS and actually history everywhere else actually in terms of services is that actually providers do innovation. And actually, in fact, new providers do disruptive innovation, and frankly, it can often take an awful long time for existing providers to catch up. I won't mention aspirins and GPs, because that'll upset the GPs in the audience, but you know what I mean. So as commissioners, what you need to do is to actually create, be clear which bits of innovation, where do you want innovation, and how do you incentivize it, and then what you do, you're clear about the outcomes, you're clear about the financial incentives, and you let providers actually get on with designing the service response. You don't try and micromanage, otherwise you'll kill off any innovation. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I've been very supportive of social enterprises, because actually, in fact, they bring completely new ways of thinking about providing health and social care to the homeless, to actually communities that institutions can't reach. But your job as commissioners is to be clear on the outcomes, make sure potential providers understand what you want, get the incentives right, and then let them get on with it.
Thanks very much.
Just a few points, and don't disagree with anything that Bob's said, actually. But as to, you know, Cathy, how do you get this, you know, driving commissioning when you've got small new organisations or struggling to find their own feet? I think there are several things. One, Academic health sciences networks need to be welcoming, as I know yours is, to new organisations so that they feel a part of the system, feel a part of the structure, feel that they've got some say in the way in which priorities are established. I think we need to be, as I said in my talk, much more aggressive about putting into the public domain information about quality and safety. So we should be telling people what the, you know, how many people get diagnosed with cancer in A&E departments and where are they and why is that being allowed to happen. So, you know, that creates a sense of shame that we're letting people down in a number of ways, then that's a good thing, and that will drive CCGs and others to say we've got to do something about this. I think we could be much more aggressive about that. And I do think that there's a role for the National Commissioning Board in London to, as I said, facilitate CCGs coming together, helping them come together, find effective ways for them to work together. Don't make it bureaucratic and difficult. Make it easier to work together. And then I think you've got the makings of a good partnership. In fact, the Academic Health Sciences Networks would be a theme through all my points about these questions, actually. So the innovation spread, I agree with Bob, much of it comes from providers, and in particular those who've got the academic base, the research base. Why not find ways of exploiting those assets that we've got in London and deliver the benefit of those assets to the whole population and make sure that benefit is delivered more quickly than we traditionally do? And the only place that I can see where that can be done is through those networks. As regards your point about how does the industry engage, I think you are going to have to engage with a very large number of organisations. I see no means of getting around that. There's no sort of hierarchy that I can describe for you which will make it simple. But again, I think if the AHSNs genuinely develop a partnership across London and within their sectors, then through that is a route that you can get engagement, provided those organisations are bought in and don't see it as something that's paternalistic. You know, it needs to be genuinely a partnership organisation.
Thanks very much. Right, I'm not going to take any more questions, I'm sorry. We're going to move on in the interests of time. So if I could ask you to thank again Bob and Ruth for their time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.